A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went up on the mountain with his disciples. He sat down and began to teach them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise person who builds their house on rock. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish person who built their house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. The Gospel of the Lord. The last time I preached was 2 weeks ago, and I preached on my favorite verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, today's gospel, on the other hand, it makes me kind of nervous because here are all these people doing wondrous things in the name of Jesus, and Jesus rejects them. I think it would be easy to say that in our day, perhaps Jesus would apply these words to the fallen televangelist, pedophile priests, or anyone committing this despicable action, the bishops who complicitly complied with the cover-up, those hoaxers and charlatans who put on a show claiming there are healings, but really it's all done as a grab for gullible people's money. Now that doesn't make me nervous at all. But a remark made by a parishioner where I preach during a talk after the service. We always kind of have a sermon talk. And a comment that was made really stuck with me and really just kind of forced me to look at today's gospel differently. Sure, it's easy to identify those people out there who are the bad ones as, well, those sinners who need to shape up. But what if this gospel applies to you and to me? What if those people getting the door slammed in their faces saying, Lord, Lord, to Jesus at Judgment Day, are you and me? I mean, all of us claim Jesus as Lord, don't we? I mean, as a Dominican, I've tried to preach in his name. I've helped out at various events that I do with therapy work with my dog, with for the veterans. I help out at pantry. I sing for various parishes. And what if after all that I've done in his name, I'm still told, go away from me. I never knew you. What if you were to suffer the same fate after all that you have done in the name of Jesus? I mean, the very thought of being turned away, it just makes my blood run cold. What happened to consider the lilies of the field? Don't worry, you're worth more than the birds of the air. You know, that lovely gospel we got to hear last Sunday. Well, how can we not worry now after hearing today's gospel? Well, one way is to read what happens in between last week's gospel and today. There's almost an entire chapter that occurred between last week's gospel and what we hear today in Matthew. Immediately before what we heard today, Jesus is warning his disciples to beware of false prophets, those wolves in sheep's clothing. He tells us that we'll know who they are by the fruit they produce. Jesus goes on to say, right before he speaks the words in today's gospel, that a good tree will produce only good fruit, and a bad tree, like a false prophet, will produce bad, rotten, spoiled fruit. Think of it. A good tree produces good fruit, healthy, nutritious, succulent fruit that gives life and health and strength to those who eat this fruit. And so do good and faithful disciples of Jesus. They produce good fruit, producing good actions that give life and benefit to those who partake of their actions. Today's gospel is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus concludes his preaching by telling his disciples, both then and now, that to be his disciple is to hear his words and then act on them. The integrity of our lives is what defines a disciple. Not flashy actions or lip service, you know, having all the right answers, but never living those answers. When Jesus tells us to listen to his words and to act on them, he isn't just talking about today's gospel, but this entire sermon, which is the heart and soul, the cradle and crux of Matthew's gospel, which it integrates and melds the entire teachings of Jesus into just a few chapters. If you want to know the definition of a good disciple, according to Matthew, read the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew. So what does Jesus teach? He says to love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Don't worry about money or possessions. Serve only God. Don't get caught up worrying about money, power, prestige, or possessions. Don't perform good deeds just so others will notice them. If you're angry with someone, make up with them before you come to the altar. Blessed are the peacemakers. To be light in the world, that we must be the salt of the earth. To keep working at becoming perfect, whole and complete, just like God is perfect. And it's in living all of those teachings that Jesus will then swing open the door to admit us into the kingdom of heaven. And not only will our actions make us a part of the kingdom, our actions also help birth the kingdom of heaven in its fullness here on earth. Like Moses in our first reading, Jesus gives us a choice, a blessing or a curse. A blessing. If we act upon all of those teachings of Jesus, then we're like a wise person who builds their house anchored securely on rock. That house, it's not buffeted from storms, and neither are we. Discipleship isn't about having a storm-free, stress-free life, but if our life is founded upon rock, if Jesus truly is the bedrock of our lives, rain can fall, floods of failure and loss can come, winds of woe, trouble, and change can beat and buffet our lives. But if Jesus truly, truly is our rock, we won't crumble. Our lives won't fall apart like a house built on grains of sand. We might feel battered and bruised, like a house weathering a raging winter blizzard. But it's those times that we need to lean in to Christ as our rock and rest our arms on the strong support of our friends and family and open our minds and our hearts to the many graces that God offers us each and every day. You know, when those demons of fear start to poke at me and my stomach gets all knotted and gnarled and twisted up in my own fears and worries, I'm always comforted when I remember this refrain to a Quaker hymn called How Can I Keep From Singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Maybe it's because this refrain always helps me to prioritize, because I know I can't follow all of these teachings of Jesus on my own. And you know what the great thing is? We are not expected to. If we cling to Christ, He will carry us through. And it's only by clinging to Christ will the storms of life not make us collapse and fall. No storm can shake my inmost calm when to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep